The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gillen.
Hey friends, welcome to the program Afternoons with Mike on The Shepherd. I am with Randy Mortensen. Randy is an accomplished senior executive and board member for many, many years in the energy industry, and he is originally from the frozen chosen land of Minnesota. Welcome to my program, Randy.
It's great to be here, and no offense intended for my Minnesota friends, land of the frozen chosen.
That's right. I've referred to that. I've never meant to offend anybody, but it is. You have to really, stories from Indiana that I've heard. Now, Evansville, where I'm from, can be cold. In fact, one year it's 23 below zero. But you dealt with cold so much more.
Right.
Where I've heard of people plugging in their cars at nighttime, and I don't know if you ever did that.
Yep, for sure.
Oh my word!
It's not optional. It's an essential.
Yeah,
they even have remote starters.
Ah,
so you don't even have to go outside. Your car's plugged in. You just hit the remote, and it starts. So
you know, that kind of bone chilling cold is that's not for me. And I'm grateful I live in Florida.
Right on.
Yeah, I like it much better. But I know you've got a lot of friends up there still, and you've been up there. But you've for several years now been down here in Sunshine State for about 8 years, right?
Right. Yeah. We were fortunate to escape back in February of 2014. I was recruited to come to Florida as a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we got here originally.
Well, I'm glad you came. And you are a part of the Christian Chamber in the Central Florida area as well.
Yes. And I think I've been a member for about 5 years,
mm-hmm.
5 or 6 years. So it's a great organization, and I think you and I would both agree it's something that needs to go across this country.
Yeah, it's really wonderful to see what's going on and the hope and excitement that I think a lot of people are feeling that are part of that organization, we included. And you know, our good friend Mark Goldstein highly recommended you.
Definitely. Mark's a great guy.
He is an awesome guy, and we are thankful for him. We came back, my wife and I, and our children rejoined them in Orlando about 2 years ago now, and meeting Mark was a substantial step forward in getting readjusted and kind of reacquainted with the area. So grateful for him and all of those in the chamber.
Right. And just I think you were at the meeting the other day where Mark spoke about Crystal and just that divine connection between the two of those. Mm-hmm. I guess it was Crystal spoke about Mark.
Yeah. She was telling the story. Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, but God.
Yeah. Well, Mark has been a regular guest on my program, and we think the world of him, but we are grateful that you're here today too. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, that's a long story, but I'll give you a bit of the Reader's Digest version. And as you mentioned earlier, I did grow up in rural Minnesota, and actually grew up on a pig farm with about 3,000 pigs would come through those barns. So I was a hard worker, had a great set of parents. My dad was active in the politics because we actually moved into town. And so I had great parents and sat in a Lutheran church every Sunday of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And sang in a choir. I was a good little Lutheran kid. And what I say often is we all have memories, some positive, some not so much. And one of the first memories was my dad actually had two heart attacks before he was 45. And so he was on day 28 following open heart surgery. And I was now into the banking industry. I was out of college into the banking industry. And it was a Sunday afternoon. And Dad said, come over to me as I was leaving his bedside, because that's when hospital stays were still 30 days for mm-hmm. open heart surgery. And he was on day 28. And he grabbed my hand and grabbed my shoulder. And he said, son, I just want you to know how much I love you. And my dad wasn't the kind of dad that ever said, I love you. And so I went home and got a call from my mom the next morning at 7:30. She said, your dad's had a massive stroke. And so we ended up making that hard decision to actually remove life support the next day
at
Tuesday
noon.
And then there's a couple more memories. One, I was 13 years old and playing pool at a buddy's house. And somehow I discovered a refrigerator full of Grain Belt beer. And don't know how I did it, but that was the first beer as a 13-year-old that I'd ever tasted and chugged it down. And to this day, I don't know how it tasted or whether I liked it or anything, but it was really the exhilaration of not being caught is what really drove me to wanting to sneak more. And I was a decent athlete in high school, and I was the mayor's kid. My dad was actually mayor when he died as a 45-year-old. And so it was the exhilaration of not being caught that really led me down a path of poor choices, of drinking. And I will say that I went to college to play baseball, chase women, and drink beer. That's not the right words, young people. Don't hear that.
Sadly, it's not a rare tale either, though. It's something that happens to a lot of people.
Right. So then another memory,
maybe not the baseball part, but the other two.
Yeah. The other memory, and I say we all have a variety of memories, but another one that's significant to my faith journey is I was married to my second wife, and I've now been married three times, but that'll be something we can talk about more. But I was married to my second wife, and we were at our place. I was then in Sioux City, Iowa, and we were at our place on the river at the beach. And my five-year-old son started vomiting just green stuff. And he would throw his arms up and he was in excruciating pain and say, Dad, help me. And there was nothing I could do, but we rushed him to the emergency room. My wife at that time was in physical therapy. And so we rushed him to that hospital and they did some quick tests and determined that his electrolytes were out of balance, but he needed emergency appendectomy surgery. And so I said, okay. We had swimming clothes on and I asked the two RNs, I said, okay, do I have time to go get us some clothes other than swimming trunks? And they, oh yeah, we've got, you know, a little bit of time. And so this is before cell phones. So I pull into our driveway and our neighbor lady friend comes running over and she said, you have to get back to the hospital right away. I said, why? What's wrong? She said, I don't know, but something's wrong with Jay. And so I go driving back a little bit too fast, I'm sure, across the city, and I go walking into the emergency room door entry, and my wife comes to me, and she says, Jay's dead.
Oh,
and I said, what? And what had happened is the emergency room physician had worked 36 hours straight, had not slept.
Oh, no.
Even though we couldn't ever prove it, he was high on crack cocaine. And he did the dosage calculation for potassium, which is what they use to put animals down, if you don't know. And instead of giving 2 milliequivalents of potassium, he gave him 20 milliequivalents of potassium. The two RN nurses refused to do it. And he said, here, darn it, I'll do it myself. And he overdosed and killed my five-year-old son.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So I had already gone through a lot of wreckage as my drinking accelerated. I went through my first divorce of my high school sweetheart, and now I was on this second marriage. 95% of parents who lose children end up divorced.
You know, that's the second time I've heard that statistic. I did not know that.
So that sent me off into just another tailspin. I was a regular church goer, but I didn't know what I didn't know about my faith. But just to give you a little background on some of the challenges that, that I've been through early on and the drinking accelerated. I was angry with God and couldn't figure out why he would take my beautiful five-year-old son.
That is a very difficult thing to lose a child. Cindy and I lost a child as well, only a different set of circumstances. We only had him 9 hours.
Wow.
But I was meeting with someone recently, had him on the program, and they were telling me that same statistic.
Yeah,
that 95%, that was unknown to me. And, You know, I would never have dreamed that we're part of that 5% that made it and yeah. hung in there. And
well done.
Yeah, well, it actually drew us closer to each other. But I'm so sorry to realize that that happened to you, and what a just an horrendous event.
Well, and I just give you the background to really weave in into my story, because I was crazy successful in the banking industry, and then had all my insurance licenses, had my real estate license. And honestly, the reason I went into the banking industry was my dad wanted to buy a bank. That's when you could still do that in rural America back then. But my drinking just was my way of soothing the pain of loss, and went through divorce number one, and then was remarried now still a church attender. But now God took my 5-year-old son, first my dad, now my son. Mm-hmm. And, we owned a couple of businesses at that time. And so I was doing very well financially, had a nice house and so on, but I just ran to Las Vegas because my brother was there. I was now in my mid-30s and, went to Las Vegas with 2 suitcases and $500. In my hand. We had a couple of businesses that we owned back in the Midwest, but that's why my forthcoming book is titled God Took Me to Las Vegas to Get Sober. And it was a very interesting journey, because by September of 1989, I was now married to my third wife, which here in another month, we'll celebrate 33 years of marriage.
Congratulations.
So it was an interesting journey, because the drinking continued. I just thought that was just who I was. And so on the outside, you would never know how messed up I was on the inside, because I was always successful financially.
And you kept the business going successfully. Yes. Even with this drinking.
Yes, yes.
And that is unusual.
And the words that you normally hear are, oh, you were a functional alcoholic.
Yeah, right.
There's no such thing as a functional alcoholic. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's that hurt, that brokenness, the angst and the pain. And so I was actually flying back from the Midwest to Vegas. We were living in Vegas now, married and successful. We had a commercial kitchen cleaning business that was 1,300 restaurants in 7 states. And I had that aha moment on a connection flight from Phoenix to Vegas. And I sat in the front row of America West. There was free booze at that time, of course. That's why I was flying. And I had sweet talked the flight attendants into giving me a couple of bottles of scotch before anybody else in the plane got them. And I opened up my briefcase, and I had 3 bottles of scotch in my briefcase and 2 on the tray table. And it was then and there that I said, enough. I'm just ruining everything. I've already gone through so much. I have this lovely, beautiful wife now for 9 months. And that was the trigger that caused me to go into a 28-day treatment program back September 24th of 1990.
Was that immediately after that flight then?
It was immediately. It was within 10 days.
That right?
Yeah. And so figured out how to not drink, but had no joy because we didn't know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so you've been sober from 89.
Yeah. Yeah. So actually from 90, I gave you the wrong date.
Okay.
It's September 24th of 1990.
Wow.
So 31 years.
31 years. Congratulations on that.
Yeah. And then we made a decision that we wanted to move back to the Midwest. So we sold our West Coast operation within 4 days for more money than we listed it at. And then we moved back to the Midwest because I now had a 2-year-old son from my second ex-wife that was this miracle baby. And so in the midst of going through all the chaos of the loss of the child and through the divorce, I still had this beautiful young man named Joel. And so I wanted to be closer to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so back in the Midwest, part of a startup business, and it was a Wednesday, sitting at my desk in Omaha, Nebraska. And we had been in the Amway business for a while, and there was this marketplace mentor of mine. His name was Ron. And I picked up the phone and I called Ron and I said, Ron, there's something about you that you have that I don't. I've seen how you do business, how you're the husband you are. They had five boys. I see how you're doing a dad. There's something that you have that I want to know about. And he said, what are you doing this afternoon? And I said, really? I was doing like three appointments in the morning and three in the afternoon. And he said, what are you doing this afternoon? I said, no, I'm busy. He said, check your schedule. So I put him on hold. That's how long ago it was, a hold button.
Yeah.
And I go walking out to my assistant, Cindy, and she said, oh, I was just coming to talk to you. And I said, for what? She said, all three of your afternoon appointments have canceled within the last 20 minutes. So I go back and pick up the phone and I said, Ron, you're not going to believe this. He said, what time are you coming? So that day, Ron and his wife sat for 4 hours with my wife and I and read through the same Bible that I'd owned my entire life and never read, and spoke about what it was to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'd never heard that in the churches that I grew up in. And then he said, well, let's go in the living room and pray. And we didn't pray the prayer that I now know that he thought we might. And what this will show you where I was at the time. I said, who's going to pray? There's not a pastor. There's no priest here. Who's going to pray? it's embarrassing to say today. And 10 days later, we're sitting in the Marriott ballroom of Orange County Airport in California at an Amway conference. And Cliff Minter is on stage and he says, if any of you have heard something this Sunday morning during their worship service, if any of you have heard something that's really nudging you to confess your sins and invite Jesus into your life and be a follower of him, come forward. I'd never seen an altar call in my life. We didn't have those in Lutheran churches. My wife grew up Catholic and I thought, I'm going. And I thought, but what am I going to do? She's right next to me. She's not going to go. I turned and looked to my right and she's got tears just streaming down both of her cheeks. That was the day, March of 1992, that our lives really changed.
Wow. So both of you at the same time.
Same time. Mm-hmm. And we had mentors and I mean, we've been sold out to the Lord since March of 1992, that moment.
Amazing story. My guest, Randy Mortensen, is here with me today on Afternoons with Mike. Randy, obviously a successful businessman, had a lot of things going, but a lot of things under the surface, as he's just described, were all awry. And God broke through all of those scenarios and has called him to himself. And we're grateful that you're here. We'll be back with Randy when we return from this break. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. You're on The Shepherd. Back with Randy Mortensen. Randy, originally from the area of Minnesota, moved down to Florida about 8 years ago, has a background in energy and finance, was a banker early on, and then became a manager, and quite a successful one in the energy business. But as we've heard, and as so often is the case, all of that success monetarily, all of the success from a standpoint of recognition really does not fill the heart at all with satisfaction or contentment, does it?
Fame and fortune just aren't enough.
They really aren't. And you had those things going for you in the business world. And yet the pain of a lost child, the pain of broken marriages, and then the reality of coming to an experience where you had with God, not just the principle of God or the thought about a God or the church that you would have grown up in, but you had a direct encounter with the Lord.
No question. And it was a radical life change for both me and my wife, Pat. And God had already connected us with mentors. So it's so important for a person as they make that decision to become a fully devoted follower of Christ to have somebody walking alongside them.
I think it's so critical. It's Discipleship 101.
Right on.
But that is not as common as what we'd like to think.
Right, right. And what holds us back?
Fear. Yeah.
Fear too often holds us back.
Yeah.
Right? You, whether you're being discipled or you are the disciple, it's the fear.
Yeah. Peter Lord, who I'm sure you've heard of.
Yes.
One time said this. He said one of the things that he had against his denomination was we had a tendency to want to dunk them and drop them.
Yes.
And, you know, we get the number, we get the baptism, that's all done. But then the follow-up from there, how does a person go on to become a follower of Jesus?
Right.
That's yeah. where discipleship is to be done. And that's the role that we were given from the Lord to do, to become disciples of men and women. That's right. what we're called to do.
Yeah, for a short time, as I was part of a very fast-growing church in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, I was affiliated with Willow Creek at the time. Our friend, mm-hmm. who's unfortunately some of his poor choices,
and that would be Willow Creek in Northern Illinois.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bill Hybels is mm-hmm. who I'm referring to, and his failures in life and the temptations he gave into, but. They had a program called Becoming a Contagious Christian.
I went through that program.
And I would teach that around the country for them, mm-hmm. For Willow Creek. And Becoming a Contagious Christian just spoke so much to my heart because I wanted people to see Christ in me. And I wanted to know how to do that better because people had seen so much life change in me from not drinking, but that was not enough. Because I had just figured out how to not drink, but I hadn't figured out how to live life mm-hmm. as God intended for me. And just the opportunity to be contagious. And I want people to see in me Christ-like behavior. Because I will often say, the best sermons are which ones? Those that we watch, not that we hear. No offense mm-hmm. to any pastors, mm-hmm. but so often we say something, but our behavior is different. And that's why it's been so important for me to take the faith-based element into the business community.
Yeah, more is caught than taught. There's exactly. no doubt about
that's it. That's exactly right. And there's we've given the government too much authority, in my opinion. That's not Democrat or Republican. It's just that we've expected them to feed the hungry, to house the homeless, and to give clothes to the naked. The Bible says that's what we should be doing, mm-hmm. each and every one of us, mm-hmm. in our businesses, in our homes, in our churches, not the government. And so I think we're seeing a new movement in the faith-based business communities that we're now going to serve more, and we're going to see much of the opportunity to serve and to see joy in ways that we haven't seen that in the last 20 to 30 years, in my opinion.
Oh, that's good. So what are you doing now from the standpoint of business?
Well, it's a very interesting question because I will introduce myself as having a background in finance and energy, and that has opened a number of doors for me. I think the one thing I want to just encourage others to consider is if you would have told me 17 years ago that I'd be leading a ministry in Haiti, if you would have told me that I'd be doing that 20 years ago, I just said, you're smoking dope.
I like that.
It was nowhere on my radar screen.
It was not going to happen.
Poverty was yeah. not something I wanted to be a part of. So
now that story is intriguing. So let's hear that one.
Well, and I'll do a shortened version. I had an opportunity to go to Haiti, primarily to take my 16-year-old son who was struggling at the time, and he broke his leg snowboarding for 2 weeks before we were supposed to go. So he couldn't go on crutches to Haiti. And so I went the first time in January of 06, and God just spoke to my heart. And as I shared with you earlier, I knew it was God speaking to me when you know, wasn't a burning bush, no bolt of lightning, no booming voice, but I knew that it was God. And mm-hmm. God spoke to me. I've taught you how to raise money. I've taught you how to run businesses. I've taught you how to hire people, manage people, make sales. And yet I didn't have any clue that would, you know, someday be a blessing to some of my Haitian brothers and sisters. And so the prime minister on my fourth trip to Haiti The prime minister said something to me that radically changed my life. And he said, there's 500,000 school-aged children not in school every day that schools are open in Haiti. And that 500,000, population 11 million, how can there be a 500,000? Well, God knew the plan he had for my wife and I, because today we have 1,400 kids in our schools that we support. And we have, you know, more than a third of them sponsored by American People, which is a huge blessing. We've helped start 130 some businesses that, you know, are
in Haiti
mm-hmm. that are sustainable. That's the thing we're really focused on, not only sharing the gospel, but also how do we create sustainability? Because handouts do what? Create more poverty. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a criticism of U.S. foreign aid. However, it's the biggest waste of money that I've ever witnessed firsthand.
Well, isn't it true that if in a lot of countries like that, that some of that aid that goes, it really doesn't make it much farther than just going into the country?
And it creates more poverty.
Mm-hmm.
It creates more brokenness, because in classic example in Haiti that I witnessed during an administration about six terms ago, we had all this grain, all this rice.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't think of rice for some reason, stockpiled here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the hurricanes came through, and what did we do? We dumped all this free rice into Haiti. Their industry was destroyed. Haiti today produces less than 10% of the rice that they produced 25, 30 years ago.
Isn't that something?
So now they're dependent. We've created chronic dependency. So that when somebody says, why are you working in Haiti? I say, I'm working in Haiti because God took me there. And I also am on a mission to restore the dignity of my Haitian brothers and sisters while eliminating the chronic dependency that we well-intentioned North Americans and Europeans have created.
Now, that dependency, it's not just aimed toward countries like Haiti right now, but it's being aimed at American citizens right now, where we are becoming more and more and more dependent, or at least having a dependent mentality,
right,
that things are going to be taken care of by the government.
Right, right.
And that's by design, right?
Well, apparently.
Apparently.
You know, what I say often, Haiti's the second largest recipient of U.S. foreign aid in the world. Okay. Yeah. There's $6 million spent every day, 365 days out of the year, on behalf of Haiti.
Mm.
Only 3-5% of that money ever actually makes it to Haiti.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, the corruptness is everywhere.
Yeah,
and
it's the analysts, it's the project managers, it's all of, I refer to them as the Beltway Bandits.
Mm.
And, you know, I don't think it's ill intent, it's uninformed, it's poor business decisions. And I was blessed to take, because of a partnership with Minnesota Home Builders, I took home builders down to teach our Haitian guys how to build homes almost to U.S. standards. Because homelessness is a huge issue, particularly following the earthquakes. Mm-hmm. They've now had two of them, two major. So we've been fortunate because we have a Haitian construction team that's been trained by U.S. builders. We built 62 single-family homes.
Wow.
I can build a 720-square-foot house for between $15,000 and $16,000 U.S. I could take you. You've been on the road north of Port-au-Prince.
I could
take you and show you our USAID builds the same house. Now they have some electric wiring in, ours don't, but we it's $15,000 to $16,000 for our house, all in turnkey. Haitian labor, Haitian materials. US government sends in labor, sends in materials, and at a cost of $116,000.
Wow. Wow. Now that road that you mentioned going north or toward Cape Haitian or Cap Haitian, as
O-Cap.
They would say.
O-Cap.
O-Cap,
as the Haitians
yeah.
would say.
That road on the way there, about halfway up, is a community called Gros Morne. Have you been
yes,
there?
Yes, I have. Yes.
And that's where, that was the farthest northern area that we visited in my trip. And that area had been hit hard by a drought, a 3-year drought at the yep. time when we yep. were there.
Yep.
I've never seen sites like that.
Well, and part of Haiti's challenge is the deforestation. So in the area, we own 40-some acres in one area, and I've got good friends, another Christian ministry that owns 700 acres near us. And unfortunately, the topsoil has all washed into the mm-hmm. ocean. Mm. So that's a major challenge for any agriculture. I mean, we have thousands and thousands of goats that are out in our area because of a sustainable goat program that God gave us a few years ago. And we have chickens, so egg layers. I have a hard time competing with the inexpensive grain in the Dominican Republic. So there's 1 million to 1.2 million eggs every day imported into Haiti from the Dominican Republic.
Mm.
I have a hard time competing with that.
Yeah.
Okay. But we look at sustainability. We have a fishing co-op. 1,200 to 1,400 pounds of fresh fish are caught every day.
Wow.
With that co-op. There's 70 guys that go out in a boat every morning, or boats.
And you said 130 companies like this.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, only God.
Only God. Only That's God. Right. Only God yeah. could give yeah. that. And you're taking how many times a year do you take a trip into Haiti?
Well, I've been to Haiti somewhere between 180 and 190 times in the last 16 years.
Oh my goodness.
So we go every month. We're blessed to have a 10 bedroom, 8.5 bath guest house. In normal years, we'll take 250 to 300 Americans with us to Haiti
mm-hmm.
from across the U.S.
So you personally are still going at least once a month.
Yeah. Yeah. Now with all the violence of recent months, we haven't been there since the end of April. We've been to the President Jovenel, who was assassinated. We were yes. actually at his house weeks before he was elected president.
Mm.
So he was a godly man.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, too, Mike, that voodoo is alive and well in Haiti. The devil is
It was
there.
When I was there, yeah.
And so as much as it's blamed on the gangs and other dysfunction, voodoo is alive and well.
You could hear the drums every night.
Yes. Yes. So we sharing the gospel is great. We need to raise up more disciples.
What do you see happening since you said it's been since April? What do you think is going to happen from a standpoint of travel into Haiti? And is there another way like to go into Cap Haitien then?
We've not gone at the recommendation of our staff. We have 80 to 90 full and part-time Haitian staff. And they just said, don't come. And honestly, God has proven to us that it's not the, you know, the Blancs.
So white. They're doing okay.
Our team has stepped up beyond anything we could have ever imagined. Mm-hmm. We send tens of thousands of dollars into Haiti every month. I won't say the exact number, but it's between 10,000 and 100,000. How's that? Every month. And
wow.
our operations guys have stepped up beyond anything we could have ever imagined. So that's mm-hmm. been a huge blessing for us to empower them. Our school numbers have grown. So there's been a lot of blessings, but today gas, if you can get it, is $15 to $20 a gallon.
Wow. In Haiti.
And
their
currency is devalued and food costs are up 50%.
Do the tap taps still travel?
Yeah.
Wow.
If they can find gas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's such a beautiful country. Haiti has some of the most beautiful beaches in the Caribbean.
No doubt.
The challenge is you can't get to them because the infrastructure is so lacking.
Mm-hmm. My goodness. That is such a beautiful island and broken in so many ways. But this is wonderful news to hear that 130 businesses led really right now by locals.
Yeah.
And that is, when you get the local leadership and they are owning it as they are and they're running it, that's a win-win right there.
Well, and one of the major challenges is 50% of the population over age 25 is illiterate. Think of that.
Mm.
So they can't help mom. Mom can't help Johnny do his math. Dad can't help little Susie read because they're illiterate. So that's another focus that we have coming out of this, that we really want to focus on adult literacy. Because there's connectivity now. There's mm-hmm. more than 6 million cell phones in a country with a population of 11 million.
That's great.
Okay, so that's one of the programs that we
that's
have coming.
Crazy.
is we really want to stimulate, okay, there's some embarrassment when they don't speak French. The more educated speak French. So we really want to focus on that adult literacy challenge.
Hmm. There's a group over there that we're familiar with that God has brought this young lady through. She's Haitian herself, came to America, went to UF, became a doctor, and is now leading a big organization aimed at helping education in Haiti.
Yeah.
And is back there now and doing a great work. I'll have to connect.
Yeah,
you
I'd love to. Yeah, we just before, in late 2019, we just opened our $250,000 medical center. And now the Healthy Moms, Healthy Babies program. I don't even know the numbers. We've got over 100 moms in that. And, you know, it's just things that we take is very basic. Hypertension. We do a lot of hypertension and diabetes. So we have medical people on our team. Also, so
friends, you never know what a trip would do to you and how it may redirect what you do in your life, just as it is with my guest, Randy Mortensen. Randy's also, he has a big event that's coming up in February. We're going to be talking about that when we come back, the Lifestyle Champion Weekend for Men. So don't go away. We'll share more with you from Randy in just a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you're on The Shepherd. Sitting in the studio today with Randy Mortensen. Randy has a background in finance, energy, a whole story he shared with us of God's mercy, God's grace, God's kindness. And now at this point, he is down here in Central Florida, been here for about 8 years. And Randy, you've got an event coming up that sounds so exciting. You're doing it all over the place, not just in Central Florida. In fact, the first one has already taken place in the Midwest, up in what, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the second one is going to be in February in Central Florida. And then later on in April of next year, one more in the Midwest in South Dakota, Nebraska, and Iowa.
Right. Right. In the Lifestyle Champion the Lifestyle Champion Weekend for Men was really something that God has been nudging me for probably 20 years now, because it was 20 years ago when I was at a men's retreat in Western Iowa. And one of my good friends, we laid hands on him and prayed over him. He had grown up, you know, in the Catholic Church. He refers to himself today as an evangelical Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a movement in that church from an evangelical standpoint even. But at that time, we laid hands on him just to pray over him, because that was the moment he surrendered his heart to the Lord. And that was one of two times when I've just been filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
I thought I was burning up from the inside out. And there were others that felt the same. All of us that had hands on my good friend, we were all just filled with the Spirit. And I've thought once a year, probably, okay, we need to do that again. We need to do that again. We need to do that again. Well, 20 years later, I finally took the initiative to at least set some dates, find some locations, and so on. And the goal is really to create community amongst men. And I'd like to encourage dads to bring sons, you know, 16 and older, because the weekend starts before you attend. You'll do an assessment of your spiritual gifts. So we start Saturday morning with the evaluation, because many of us have taken spiritual gifts tests in the past or assessments in the past. This one's a little different. It's a bit more unique. And what we're looking for is to evaluate where you are in your journey. And then the next session is, okay, now these are some tools to equip you with. So it's 5 E's.
Mm-hmm.
So it's evaluate, and then it's equip, and then it's empower. So how do you now have confidence, and how can you be empowered now that you've been equipped and evaluated? And then we get to the final one, which is enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we've evaluated, we're equipped, we're empowered, and now we have the opportunity to enjoy it. And that's where discipleship really comes into mm-hmm. play, right?
It really does.
So it's a filled weekend. here in Central Florida, it starts at 6 o'clock with dinner on the 4th, which is a Friday night,
February 4th.
And then on Saturday, we'll do the teaching. I actually open Friday night with how do we deal with pain? As men, we struggle dealing with pain. So that's the opening session Friday evening after dinner. And then what we're doing here in Central Florida is Saturday night, we're not going to do a testimony. We're going to do a series of testimonies of professional athletes. Have an NBA, a couple of NBA superstars mm-hmm. that are coming. Hmm. Have a former NFL Buccaneer that's agreed to come. And we're calling it the Night of Champions is what Saturday night is. And we're doing it a little different here in Florida too, because it's at a beautiful conference center, the Canterbury Conference Center, which is in Oviedo. And we're going to have a commuter rate too. So if you want to sleep in your own bed instead of sleeping in one of our beds, that's fine. We'll have a different rate mm-hmm. for that. What I want your listeners to know is if they go to lifestylechampion.org, that's the website, lifestylechampion.org, and then use the coupon code, the hashtag #TheShepherd, they'll get $30 off.
Okay.
On that. So,
it's great to know.
Yes.
And we'll put that out on our Facebook as well, The Shepherd. And that would be hashtag The Shepherd.
Right on.
Now, this weekend, you've mentioned this exciting time with the NBA players. You know, when people come, if they've never been to this retreat center, it is gorgeous out there. So they're going to have all of this teaching, training, but it's also an idyllic place just to rest and relax.
Sparkling.
Yeah. And lake is amazing.
And then the trail around it is and then what we did in the first one in November, and we'll do it two nights here. We'll do bonfires and we'll do s'mores.
Okay.
So if you want some chocolate, you want some marshmallows, we're going to do that both nights also. That was a great evening being outside up there. And I know the weather will be even nicer down here. So mm-hmm. we really, what I say is there's unity in community. And too often we as guys don't do a great job with that. You know, our friend Mark Goldstein's doing with CLC and the Better Man events and so on. I think the greater Orlando area is doing better than many areas around the country, but I think we can do even more.
Mm-hmm.
I think God's nudging us to do even more as men, and there's unity in community.
As a business leader, Randy, and someone that has lived in really different parts of the country, in the Midwest as well as in the northern sections of the Midwest, and now in Florida, what are you seeing happening in the 2022 with all of the changes that's already taken place this year and now going into the midterm elections? What are you seeing happen?
Here's a it's challenging to me. Is that suicide rate amongst pastors in the last year is at an all-time high. Okay. That's amongst pastors.
That's sad.
We're seeing overdose death rates are up 29% in the last 12 months. Okay. So we have a variety of challenges that are coming about as unintended results of a pandemic, I guess I would mm-hmm. say. And so as I look at how does the church get more involved? And I'm saying the small C church. And who should be the leaders of this movement? The men, right? No offense to any ladies that are listening, but the men really are called to be the leaders of our families, are called to be the leaders of our businesses, are called to be the leaders of our communities. And if we can do that as a body of believers, that's where real impact is going to come from.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the motivation of this Lifestyle Champion Weekend for Men, is to empower them, to equip them, to encourage them to now go, right? Because we want to, but what blows my mind as an executive recovery coach dealing with, you know, white collar corporate America is when I say to them, to that guy that comes up to me after I've done a keynote speech on crushing the stigma or talk to a group of pastors, they'll come up to me and say, Randy, can you help me? And I'll say, well, it sounds like you want help. Why haven't you done something in the past? It's always the same four words. I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter how much money they have, how much education, you know, how many initials are behind their last name. I don't know how is always the same answer. And that's for people dealing with substance use, substance abuse disorders. I'm seeing in our faith-based recovery programs now, pornography and sexaholics. It's off the chart. In my 20 plus years of leading faith-based recovery, I have never seen the issue of pornography addiction or sexaholics coming like I have here in the last 18 months.
What do you think is the cause for that uptick?
I don't have a good answer for that, because for me, those poor choices always came after I was drinking. So that was a lifestyle choice for mm-hmm. me. But I'm seeing now young men in their 20s and guys in their 60s that are now coming to our meetings that they don't have. It's not a secondary addiction. So they're not doing pornography after they've been drinking or after they've done drugs. It's that they don't drink or do drugs. So somehow this whole access,
I think social media is introducing it.
There's so much access mm-hmm. to inappropriate yeah. material yeah. and the guys haven't been open enough and willing enough to share these shortcomings with their spouse or another family member or another guy. Okay. The event that we just had in Minnesota, I mean, there was a gentleman that said he was going to commit suicide had he not come.
Isn't that something?
Okay. So
accountability really makes a difference when you're trying to overcome something, but it's also shunned by many because they fear of its kind of maybe being taken advantage of or opening themselves up in a way that is not going to be healthy. And
that's so, the stigma that I, you know, my keynote title is Crushing the Stigma.
Yeah.
It's imperative, because the people that are dying today are moms and dads, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, the people that love them. And we've created so much stigma in our families, in our businesses, in our faith communities, and we have to get rid of the stigma. And then equip people and encourage people. And then I just taught on this lesson last night. Recovery takes, one of the key elements of recovery is humility. And because we've been humiliated or we've suffered from humiliation so many times in our life when we were caught, mm-hmm. we have a hard time being humble, right? But yet God is saying, surrender to me. I will take away your pain. I will show you the way out. But that means that we're being humiliated in our former life. And in reality, it takes a higher level of humility in order for us to see the new you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where these weekends, I want there will be men there that can say, I know how you feel. 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 25 years ago, here's what I was going through. Here's the pathway that God took me down, and here's who I am today.
Mm. So let's get the information out there. First of all, your organization that helps people in Haiti, how do people get in touch with you on that?
That's worldwidevillage.org.
Worldwidevillage.org.
Yes, yes. That's our nonprofit doing work mm-hmm. in Haiti. And then for this event, it's lifestylechampion.org.
Lifestylechampion.org. And again, if people who are listening would like to check that out and sign up, use the hashtag The Shepherd, and get a discount. And you can also learn all about it on this website, right?
Yes, yes. And then I'll give you one more URL. If you want to know more about Randy and the coaching and the speaking that I do, that's actually randymortensen.com.
MortensenSEN.com, Randy Mortensen. It's really been a delight, Randy, to have you here and to have somebody that has gone through what you've gone through and come out on the other side of it with a 30-year track record of not only sobriety, but joy. Because I think people who know you now would never dream that you'd gone through what you've gone through.
Right, right. But there's plenty of brothers and sisters, you know, I have a younger brother, a younger sister. I'm blessed to have an 89-year-old mom, and even my wife of soon to be 33 years, she knew the old me too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of evidence out there.
And I think of what you've said a couple of times in this meeting, but God.
But God.
Two important words right there that can change everything.
And that's and I will tell you that's there's a differing of opinion. One expert says that but God appears 31 times in the Bible, and then another translation says it's 43 times.
Mm.
But God, I wouldn't be here today.
That's really true, and it's true for us all, whether we realize it or not. I think what's so wonderful is you know just what God has done in your life, and you're sharing it, and I really appreciate that. Thank you for what you're doing in Haiti. Thank you for what you're doing with these men and giving men really an opportunity to be discipled and to change.
Yeah. If not us, then who?
That's right. Randy Mortensen, my guest. We thank him, and friends, thank you as well for being with us. We'll see you next time here on Afternoons with Mike.